Yeah, you got a whole human with you.
I know, and I'm like,
you stay here, baby.
Yeah, I'm walking like up and down the streets I used to always walk down, and I'm like, this is weird.
Well, you got to look at now with like, you look at it with mom eyes now.
Yeah, I'm like, everything's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, look at this.
I was at a park, and there's like, I mean, there's like so many kids, and they're all like chained together in a a little chain gang.
That's really funny. Yeah, the little ducks crossing the street.
Yeah, and it's great because it's like, you see that and you're like, that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
You can't have a bunch of wild children.
Well, you also wonder if like, if pedophiles look at it like a carton of eggs.
Right, yeah.
They go, well, look at that. That's all conveniently packaged.
Or just like a group of gazelles and they're like, which one's weak? They're there one with a limp?
I could snap off that one and take it. Yeah. I would have the fear of being a teacher. By the way, we just like start rolling. So
great, perfect.
There's no like, welcome to, I would have the fear if I was a teacher or one of those people that like watches the kids, that I'd look back and there'd just be like a missing link in the whole thing where I'd be like, uh-oh, did anyone see where DeAndre went? And then they're like,
a man came and took him.
And you're like, I
got his shoe.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, dude, having like kids in this city when you're, New York City, when you're up by yourself, single, is a completely different city than when you have a child, when you're married, or a dog.
It's also crazy because it's like, I remember I used to walk in the city and like, we work at night. And so like, a lot of times you'd walk and everyone's lit up in their like apartment and you can see in. And
do a lot of watching.
I love to watch.
Yeah.
And I used to walk by and used to see like all these like professionals with like a glass of wine, like winding down at the end of the day. And I used to be like kind of jealous of that.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh man, like it must be nice to like end work.
To have, because we end so late.
Yeah.
That you don't have a wind down. Your wind down is sleep.
Yeah. And it's like, and then like you get, I don't know. It's like their work day is done. Like they don't have to, I feel like our work day is never done. But then now I like walk around the city and I see people that's like, I see like the old version of myself.
Yeah.
Which is just like, I mean, a prettier, blonder version of myself, but like wearing like yoga stuff and like an iced coffee. And I'd be like, I remember those days too. That's nice.
Lack of responsibility.
Yeah.
I wonder, well, the thing that always blows my mind about you is you were a young professional.
I was a young professional.
Before you got into comedy, you were like doing that. You worked in finance.
I wore suit skirts.
That's hilarious.
I mean, and when I started improv, I used to go from work to improv and I'd wear my scoot skirt.
Your scoot skirts? Your scoot skirts? But you would.
My scoot skirts.
Would you take. Would you do that thing like every commercial from the 80s where you'd take your high heels?
I wore heels all the time. I never switched to sneakers.
No.
And then I used to do improv in sneakers.
That's wild.
I mean, in heels.
My mom was a professional lady.
Yeah.
And she had the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
In the 80s and 90s. But I always thought about that, like, it's like a gum commercial where they take off their high heels and put on
it's
shoes.
It's what you should do. Sure. Also, if you have to change your shoes for work, you shouldn't have to wear those shoes.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd be like, these shoes aren't good for walking.
Take off your foot knives.
Yeah. It's like you can wear these 8 hours a day when you're mostly sitting.
Why high heels in a professional setting?
I mean, it's
what is it?
Also,
what's the point of it though? Do you go like, this deal will go through. Look at those sexy feet.
It's really.
Yeah.
There's got to be something. There's some sort of sexism behind it, but there used to be. So at JP Morgan, there was a woman who was very high up who, if she saw you in the elevator with sneakers, she would be like
angry.
Yeah. Like,
she had to do it her whole career.
Yeah. And
not because she probably cares. It's probably because
I know exactly what it is. It's like, she's like, well, I can do it, so you can do it.
That is most of the shit in this country.
Yeah.
Is like, everybody goes, I did it. You fucking do it.
How dare you forgive student loans? I paid all mine back.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
All right. Well.
I mean, dude, it took me a great amount of luck to pay mine back, and I'm still for forgiveness.
When I think about the amount I paid back versus the amount I took out.
Oh, it's crazy.
I get furious.
Yeah, I took out.
And then I'm like, but you know what? This is how it should be sold. It's not helping young people. It's a fuck you to the bank.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. The banks are mad. The
bank isn't making money. So stop getting mad at the kids.
Well, that's, I think that's,
I mean, they
like,
also suck, but I stop mean, getting mad.
Sure, the kids suck. But I think what you're seeing is it's exactly that, where the banks are like in people's ears, where they go, can you believe? They're like, yeah. They're sitting there with a mustache. Yeah. And they go, can you believe these kids? And they're like, right. And they're like, definitely not the banks. The banks are cool.
They take off their mustache. There's just another mustache under it.
Oh, man. We should go to the bank. And you're like, why do you keep talking about banking?
Man, can you believe they're just hurting all the banks? The bank's just the little guy trying to help out the big guys.
The thought that banks are the little guys when they've just been butt-fucking Americans the entire time they've existed.
The whole time.
And the crazy thing is, like, FDIC insurance, really, I think, I don't know a lot about this, and I'm sure people will sound off in the comments.
Yeah, guys. But, hey, all you finance bros.
Let us have it.
Click and subscribe so you can comment.
But you worked in, it's crazy, it's like you went from the most serious job to the silliest job.
And I went to the most serious job at the most serious time.
Yeah. Like, 08.
Yeah. Like I was working at Bear Stearns while it collapsed.
Where was that? What streets was that on?
This was on 383 Madison.
Okay.
So it was Madison and I think it was 46th or 48th.
Yes. You were right by Dos Caminos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
50th and 3rd.
Yeah. Cause that's where a lot of people went the day that everything collapsed.
Oh, I know. Cause
everyone's like, I got to get a margarita and some tableside guac.
Your boy walked with 375 that day on a lunch shift. It was the hardest I've ever worked waiting tables.
It's also really funny that like the banking people were like, I need a drink, but I can't go to the nice place anymore.
Yeah, what am I going to go to? Oh, Flattery's? I'll go to Dos Caminos. Yeah. It's crazy to think you want a vacation drink when your life has collapsed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was such a crazy couple weeks. Like, first of all, the day it happened was, this is how crazy the banks are. There's like an internal video system where sure. like someone can give like a speech. And so the CEO of the bank gets on and he was like, I know there's a lot of noise out there and you can see obviously our stock price has dropped. It
plummeted. The bottom fell.
A drop is a drop. It's like saying like grandma fell and it's like, oh no, grandma fell into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, no,
like,
she did. It was like, yeah. She fell off the roof.
Yeah, she's not, this isn't, she didn't just like fall off the couch.
Grandma
she
had a like, slip.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened? She goes, well, she was skydiving.
Yeah.
And the chute didn't open. So it's a big problem. But what's crazy to me is a couple things. Number one, that you had this like futuristic evil screen thing that was like bloop, bloop, like that's what they thought in the 60s it was like gonna pop up, and they're like, he's like underlit under his chin and he's like, terrible news today.
Yeah. And then he goes obviously the stock is, you know, it's dropping, but he's like, but I just want to assure everyone we are okay. We are okay.
He's just putting bullets into his gun.
And it's like, meanwhile, JP Morgan's in the back being like actual JP yeah. Morgan. Like, not even. He's like.
Is my heritage gone? Was that JP Morgan the real guy?
They bought Bear Stearns.
JP Morgan did?
Yeah.
Was he ever a real guy? He was a real guy?
He was a real guy, yeah. John Pierpoint.
When did he die?
Morgan? I don't know.
I want to look that
probably,
up.
Probably long. Less long ago than he should have.
I bet he lived in a tank of some sort.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Darth Vader.
Yeah, just like
when they came in and they were like, this is JP Morgan, and he's like, bring me my baby to.
It's also so funny when they talk about, like, you know, like some like people, the conspiracy theories about like liberals eating babies, and yeah. I was like, well, if anyone's eating babies, it was like JP Morgan, you know.
Yeah. I love it. Just goes to his website where they're like, you try to look up JP Morgan and they're like, you want to give us your money?
Yeah. And they're like, we have a library.
Oh, he died in 1913. But his heirs were probably behind it going, is our inheritance fucked?
Yeah.
Is our inheritance fucked?
JP Morgan was fine. JP Morgan was like, no, we're just going to buy everybody.
That's crazy. So you're at Bear Stearns and the day it happens. So that's the thing that happens is the video comes up
and the guy's like, don't worry. This is like either a
out of range. There's just the gun.
Yeah. And he's
like, so we're going to be fine.
Yeah,
we're going to be fine. He's doing the thing that they do for it. Yeah. I've been trafficked. That's fucking wild. And were you
with it?
did you feel like shit was, did you believe his lie?
I was like, it was impossible to believe his lie because I worked with like I worked in due diligence, but like we worked with a lot of the brokers.
Sure.
And they were like, grabbing their stuff and running out of the office.
No way.
Like, it was really like, was this guy, this guy's coming down from the screen being like, everybody just relax.
Chill, baby.
Chill, babe. Like, just chill, babe.
Take your pants off.
Yeah. It's
like, we're fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Baby, baby, baby.
I'm not.
Oh, man.
I'm not the guy I used to be.
You're listening to that liberal media. They're full of lies.
Guys, it's just chill.
Who's saying that? NASDAQ? They're out of their minds. Relax, relax. Here, have another drink. Yeah. And the guys behind your head's
and,
on fire.
And there's like, I mean, then there's people like, just be like, grab everything. And I'm like,
were there
like,
a lot of shredders going off?
I don't even think we had shredders. I think people were like.
Incinerators?
Yeah. It's like,
this whole fucking people. Of paper.
So there's like brokers grabbing stuff, and I'm also like, and then my mind, I remember thinking, wait, why do they need to throw so much stuff in boxes? Isn't it all digital? And then I didn't realize that it's like, you can't, if you leave, they cut off all your access.
Oh yeah.
It's like
that video of that guy trying to get in the New York Jets facility and his lob doesn't work. He's like, pum, pank, pum, pank. He's pulling on the door. I bet if you left Bear Stearns that day without stuff.
Yeah. It's all gone. You can't access it.
I know I probably would have left like a mug that I liked. It would have been something inconsequential. Like, it would have been something where I'm like, you can leave that. I'm like, I liked it. It was a Dilbert calendar.
You're like, does someone important give it to you? No, I just really liked it.
I was excited to see what Kathy was going to get into the next day.
It just made me feel, how?
Yeah, that's like a crazy place. In the history of time, it's like a crazy place to be in.
Yeah.
Is at Bear Stearns, which collapsed after this.
And it was the only bank that really actually collapsed,
because
everything else got bailed out, and everyone, Bear Stearns was like, nope, we're gone.
What was around us? Blackstone, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns.
I mean, that's a tough day, because Lehman happened a little bit after, but it was
you guys were the first to fall.
Yeah.
That, and you were there.
It was insane. I remember also thinking like, I'm fine. I'm not the guy who has to worry.
Yeah.
Because I was, the banks, I mean, the whole thing, it's such a racket. I had like 20 bosses.
Yeah.
There was like 20 people that were like VPs.
It's crazy
And like so many MDs. And it was like vice presidents, managing directors. Sorry.
I'll speak to you lower forms.
And they, I mean, it was just, I was like, we don't, there's so many redundancies here. My day was always so stupid that I was like, I immediately knew. I was like, oh, these guys are fucked.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm constantly doing work that's not like, it was just always like, can you do this? Can you do this? And I was like, can we just streamline this? This seems like there's 7 people asking for the same thing because none of you actually do any work.
How much money were those guys? Like, those guys were making like millions a year.
I think the bottom salary for a VP, I think, is like $250 a year. And that's before bonuses. And like,
that's where they really...
Yeah.
And that's where they get like...
I remember thinking at the time too, I was like, $250 a year. Because I used to like do the math and be like, oh, because that means you could spend like this much on rent and still have this much left over. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's crazy to me. You know? And that's just before bonuses.
And that's where they really
sucker
everybody. And they go like, oh, we gave our CEO a $90 million bonus.
Yeah, they're like, of course there's a salary cap.
Oh, of course. But that is... It's what you're describing... It's crazy that you went from one business to another business that's exactly the same with the amount of unnecessary people in the way. Because then you go into entertainment, and you and I have written a show together, and we watched all the red tape and like all the stuff where they go like, we have to have this guy read it. And you go, why?
And then they're like, this guy has to give you notes. And I'm like, I can't. I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
I used to get so angry both before and after those note sessions, because I was like, this guy is dumb and not funny.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what's the most streamlined job you might have had in comedy. Daily Show, you wrote right on. I mean, you were like there to be like, here's the jokes, write to Trevor.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, Daily Show, like that is, it's pretty streamlined until you want to talk about something the network doesn't want you to talk about.
There it is.
And then they're like, I know this is a news show, but let's not talk about the news.
Yeah. Well, that's what's always funny to
Israel.
Me.
Israel. Yeah.
They're still not talking about it. But there is a thing of like, that's why I think there's been so much pushback on media, the news, and all this stuff is because I feel like there's way more of this in every business. Like the amount of people you have to go through, the amount of people that exist in the middle that just don't need to be there.
Right.
But then they fight for their jobs where they go like, well, that's not true. You need us.
Well, look at like, I mean, not to get like a little conspiracy, but like, look at the people who did it on their own. You know, like, like, okay, so like Louis starts making his own specials and producing his own special, stops using Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Starts putting his own specials out on his website. You know, like he's, and then all of a sudden, like, it's like, and they really go after him.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Well, they want to prove the point of this episode's just going to disappear from the internet.
Right, yeah.
YouTube's like, we had a nice thing set up and you guys were running your fucking mouths. Right. But it is, I mean, it always, that's always the reason I didn't want to go into the corporate world was because it felt like there were so many unnecessary people.
Yeah.
And then I got into comedy and I was like, oh, this is just everywhere.
It's there's so many people who's, I don't know. Sometimes part of me is like, I mean, everyone needs a job.
Yeah.
And then there's other part of me that's like, can they do something useful though? Is it?
Well, now it's surprising that we're all blown away that everyone wants to, you know, eat sriracha on TikTok and like rate it. And you're like, no one wants to do real work anymore. You go, well, being in that middle has got to suck.
But then it's also like the bigger that YouTube person gets, then the more people under him that are doing like useless jobs again.
There's so many barnacles. There's so many small fish that have to eat off the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
But I mean, banking is one of the ones I never, seven seasons of Billions, I never understood it.
I watched some Billions. I finally got Showtime. Or like it was on, it's on
good
one
job,
of the,
Showtime.
It's on one of the streaming. It's
Paramount Plus.
Yeah. So I finally got Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And then Billions is on it. And I was like, I'm going to watch Dan.
I worked in finance and my friend was on this show.
And I was like, I remember texting. I was like, oh my God, you've had to sit in so many conference rooms.
So many. But the fun part was it was like, it's like play conference rooms where you're like, it's really only half a conference room.
Right.
And you look and it's just empty on the other side. I remember when we did like season one or season two, I was at a house party with somebody and the girl who owned the apartment came up to me and was like, my boyfriend works in finance and he says it's nothing like that. And I was like, I don't know.
You're like, when I don't know and I don't care.
I don't. Oh no, I should go tell people. I was like, get the fuck out of my face.
It's also, it's like, it's, if you really did a show that was like really about finance, people would like, they would be like, this, we got to stop.
This is boring as shit.
It's, first of all, it's boring, but this is insane.
Yeah.
Like we got to.
How did you get into it?
I mean, that's even crazier. I was a kinesiology major in college, which makes 100% sense for me because it's the study of how the body moves. And it's like all these people that get into like.
Kinesiology?
Sports medicine. Or
I've never
like,
even heard that word before.
So, okay. When I was deciding where to go to
college.
That sounds
like a Dr. Seuss name. Yeah, kinesiologists.
The sportsy voodoos.
Yeah, and the zoodoos and the kinesiologists.
Before I went to college, I was like trying to decide where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember those like old Gatorade commercials where like they'd have like scientists watching like people run with like all the like stuff attached to their body. And I was like, I loved track and I love sports, but like I was like, I know it can't be the professional.
Yeah.
So maybe I could be the doctor who like does the tests on the professional.
You could be the old, remember the Gatorade commercial where they show the first one? The guy goes, so we called it Gatorade. Like that guy, that scientist, that was your guy, that was your North Star.
And I was like,
ooh, that would
pure
be fun.
Sugar.
I do love it. I'm not going to lie, Gatorade, hire your boy when comedy collapses. We'll replicate Glacier Freeze three different times. Glacier Frost.
So I would watch those and I was like, I want to do this. So I like looked that up and there was like a Gatorade Institute at like the University of Florida or like Florida State, one of the Florida.
Gatorade. That's what they came up with.
Yeah. I think they made it for the football team.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what the commercial guy, when you watch the old school commercial, they like mashed it to make it look cool in the early 2000s, but it was like, the players at Florida were getting a little tired. And then they just show. It's funny when a scientist has a deep Southern accent, because you almost go, "Do you trust that science?"
I mean, he sounds like you're like that doesn't sound like science.
It sounds like old witchcraft.
Yeah, but yeah, like, he does. My granny tells me,
"It's right here. It's a nude eye, and we got it in this bowl of gator piss.
We get it from the crops out in the.
Oh, this is swamp water that we put in the commercial. He has that accent, and he goes, "Naturally, we called it Gatorade because it was for the gators." Like, so that's crazy. That I've never think that Florida would have a Gatorade department.
Well, it's also like when you think about Gatorade and you think about Florida, you're like, well, now that we know what's actually in Gatorade, it's sugary fruit juice with salt in it.
It's so good. it's so good. And I know it's bad for me, but I feel like I feel healthy drinking it.
It also, it's like so funny to be like, yeah, it's for athletes, and also like, I mean, mostly for the hungover people.
Yeah, it's for hungover people and stoners who have cotton mouth, and they're like, I don't want to keep drinking soda. I don't like bubbles.
But okay, so I looked that up, and I was like, I want to do something like this. And so I finally, like, I found out that there was like this Gatorade whatever thing at Florida, and that it was like a kinesiology department. So then I looked up what other schools had kinesiology, because I don't want to go to Florida.
Yeah, you're like, dude, I want to live in that heat.
I was also like, I mean, it's such a snob. I was like, I want to go to a better school than Florida.
I don't know, man. Sorry, Gainesville, Florida. Gainesville looks a lot of fun.
I mean,
I'm on the dub end, and I would say to you, I would have gone to Florida.
Looking back, probably a better fit for me. I go to William & Mary that has a kinesiology department, and it's like the best school that has a kinesiology department.
Okay. So you were like, I'm going to do smart Gatorade.
Yeah.
Diet Gatorade.
And I was also like, I don't want to go to school and party. I want to go to school and learn. Oh.
Yeah.
Very fun. I was very fun to be around.
So you go to William & Mary and then just get into kinesiology?
Get into kinesiology.
To make your own Gatorade?
No, but we
that was that would be my first question. I go, I think a flavor I want to call Dan Rain, and it tastes a lot like Mountain Dew.
And they're like, actually, we're going to have to you're going to dissect this human. And you're like,
oh, wait, you had to dissect a human?
Yeah, I dissected a human.
Was it like the bodies exhibit? Was it like a political prisoner from the United States that died?
You know, they never told us who they were, but I mean, they're like these people donated their bodies to science. And we're like, did they? Did they?
Is there a milk carton with them on it? My mom wants me to do that.
She wants you to donate her body or your body?
Not my body. That's like, hey, mom, my body, my choice.
She's like, even after I'm gone, I want you to dispose of your body the way I want you to dispose of it.
She wants me to donate her body. And you're kind of like, it's weirding me out to know some sophomore is just going to be like cutting open her rib cage.
I mean, it was like there was two people. We had an older man and an older woman.
Do they cover their privates?
You dissect their privates.
Their ween?
This is gross, okay?
Should I give them a fake hand job before you cut it? Or you are?
Grown human penis I ever saw was the cadaver that I dissected.
How metal is that?
And you cut it open long ways.
And that was the first human penis you
saw?
That was
the first human penis I saw. So many non-human penises.
No, I mean, tons of squirrel dick. Squirrel dog, cat
horse
dick.
Horse penis, dog penis.
Possum peen. You're like Dr. Doolittle with penises.
Little hamster peen.
But that also, the first living one had to have been an experience, because you were like,
holding
it, and you go, you know, the only one I've seen of this is I cut open, and the guy's like, I'm good. You know what? I think we should be friends.
You know, okay, so now I know what to do. Your penis is out, and so I'm just going to down through the middle.
That's crazy.
And by the way, if you're wondering, your penis inside, much cooler than the outside. I got to say, all you men out there, penis inside, pretty cool.
A lot of tubes and chutes, a lot of chutes and ladders going on inside that.
It's like a spongy.
Oh, man. Yeah, because that's what fills the blood.
Yeah.
We call that the boner insulation. Classic boner filling.
You know when they're like putting the insulation, like what's the spray stuff that they put? When they're doing like roofs and stuff.
I'm not a man like that. I'm a boy.
I just know it from the home improvement shows I watch.
Whatever Tim Allen talked about. Yeah. If it's a Binford 500, I probably got it. But so you had to like dissect a whole human body.
Dissected
everything?
Yeah.
The butthole?
We didn't actually get into the butthole.
You didn't flip it over?
No,
we didn't. The back's the best part.
Well, we did. I mean, we flipped it over and we got like the glute muscles and everything, but we didn't go. Like, okay.
You just jiggle their ass and be like, give me the light and pass me the draw. Just shaking the ass. Just
like,
being
like, boop, 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 boop.
Look, she's twerking, like lifting the hips of a dead lady's butt. Give me the light and pass me the draw. That's got to be, that's wild.
I would have been gross. Now, Dan, we were supposed to be very respectful.
Yeah, impossible. Did you ever feel in those moments like the flint or like the pilot light of being a comedian where you're like, I'm having a harder time being serious than other people?
I can't emphasize enough how little comedy crossed my mind and how into school I was.
Yeah.
Like,
For people that don't know, you are like, you get into something and you bust your ass.
I mean, I was like, this is how much of a dork I was, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know people use that as like a cool, like call themselves a nerd as like a cool thing. But like, yeah. I would literally like, I lived in the track house, right? I was on the track team. I lived in the girls' track house. And so there would be parties in the house. And I would lock my door on a Saturday night and study.
What a nerd.
I mean, such a nerd.
What a nerd. I would such have cheated off you so many times in college.
Like, this is how at school you could elect to write a thesis, to do a thesis project your senior year.
Yeah.
And completely, like, just a choice you could make. You didn't have to do it, but you could, and then you could graduate with honors. High honors or highest honors.
Oh shit. And you picked the
hardest
one. So
I wanted to be like, well, I want to do a thesis, but it only really going to count if I get highest honors.
Damn.
And so
you remind me, I'm glad we're such close friends now as we're adults, because I think in college you would have hated me. I remember
you wouldn't even have known me because I wouldn't have talked to you. Like, I don't mean you personally. I mean anybody.
Well, so I had this political science class at Arizona where I was just getting stoned and drunk as much as possible. And my senior year lived by this Starbucks, and we had like a serious group project.
Uh-huh.
It was a UN simulation that was very hard and graded. And I was part of France, Francais. But I didn't do anything.
Did you do the accent the whole time?
Yeah,
though?
I was like, oh, what are we doing? We are here to drink wine and make love, Gabby. The lady that ran my group. Oh, Gabrielle. She was, Dan, stop. This is inappropriate. Why? Why are you doing all this paperwork?
But we're French.
Oh, come on. Smoke a cigarette. Have a baguette. Dude, she really hated me. She hated me. And she was cool about it. But, dude, she would run our group. She was like very like, I wouldn't be surprised if she's a politician now.
Right.
Like, I would not be surprised at all. She, like, read all the briefings. The guy that ran my class was a former head of he was, like, right under the Secretary of State. He did something massive in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, we're going to run this. I'm going to teach you guys, like, how genuinely it runs in the UN and all this stuff. And I did fuck all. I did nothing. I was doing radio. I was doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to get that degree. I told my group, if I get a D, that's a win. And they collectively sighed. They collectively went,
I think there's some people in group projects though, like people like me.
Yeah.
Luckily I never had to do group projects.
God damn,
very
you
solo.
Yeah.
Very, but there are some people in group projects who I think like people like you that are like, they're like, okay, good. I can do it on my own. That's great. That's great. You're going to fuck it up. Let me just do it.
I think that's what saved it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm going to call myself a glue guy on this. Brought a little fun to the table. I was an alcoholic. I was a lot of fun. But dude, I will never forget. We had this very important, like before our presentation, final meeting on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
It was like very, or it was a Sunday. It was very, very important. I worked at KFMA, the radio station, till noon
mm-hmm.
or till midnight the night before, and then went out and got blackout drunk mm-hmm. at the Golden Nugget playing shuffleboard.
Of course.
And I woke up.
That's a hilarious thing to do so late at night.
Oh, man. All these like dangerous ass Tucson locals just playing shuffleboard and doing shots of Jaeger.
It's such like a dangerous group of people playing a very lovely game.
Lovely game. And they always salted it. It was a mini shuffleboard. They always had a lovely, it was very salted. It was always very fun. But what's funny is also like, I wasn't out getting pussy. I was at Dirtbags till 4 a.m. I was at a bar playing shuffleboard with people that probably have felonies. And I was just like, whoa.
It's like very clear you're close with your grandmother. Yeah.
Like, I'm just, man, I gotta call her. But I woke up, the meeting was at like 8:45 a.m. and I woke up at 9:10. I just remember waking up and being like, ah! But I lived right by the Starbucks. I put my pants and I had Timberland boots. Shout out. And
in Arizona?
I don't know why.
The hottest shoe I know. Can wear.
It was, and it was like March, so it was like hot. And I remember putting my boots on and my pants and like a t-shirt and lighting up a cigarette and running to the thing. And the head of the group goes, here he comes, like to the other people. And I sat down, like hurried. I was like, hey, what's up, guys? Sorry. Oh, so I just remember like my whole head being like wonky. And I was like, dude, I'm not built for group projects. And she like explained it to me like I had a brain injury.
Right.
She goes, this is what we're going to say. And that was the only time in my life where I was like, hey, I do comedy. Like right. I can public speak just fine. I'll be a little drunk, but I might riff a little. But that was like the kind of college experience.
Gabby, you do the numbers. I'll be the forward facing guy.
I'm gonna come in. I'll do a French accent for all of us. Teach me a couple sentences. It was one of those things where, as I grew older, at the time I thought she was a dickhead, mm-hmm. and now that I'm older, I'm like, you were the villain.
Isn't it really fun to look back at that stuff and just be like, she was such a fucking wet blanket. And yeah. You're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I want to track her down and be like, hey, thanks for all that work. Because I did get a D.
Also, I mean, but like being the Gabby myself, yeah. I'm also like, you could have cooled down a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, I think that's what growing up is. You yeah. go like, I could have adjusted.
Yeah.
I maybe should have just gone home after work.
Maybe you should have just gone home after work and maybe I should have made some friends.
You know? Like, just go to the middle.
Find a happy medium.
Everyone needs to do
it. We should have both played shuffleboard yeah. at a reasonable hour.
In the afternoon.
Right.
With one pitcher of beer.
Right. You know? Just one each.
Yeah, just yeah, one yeah. each. Not a personal. I'm just drinking out of the pitcher being yeah. like, I want to bomb Spain. Just pushing it. That's a point. I'll rip your fucking finger off. Yeah, I feel like when I look back to college, I think that's just what life is. You look back and you go like, I could have been a better waiter. I probably could have done a lot of stuff. But Bears, when the collapse is happening, right? Yeah. Are you like kind of enjoying watching it?
I was like, I had no idea what was going to happen. And comedy, I still hadn't really like realized that comedy was a thing I could do.
Sure.
Like I was doing.
Did you like it?
But I didn't start doing improv until like 2010. So I didn't even like, I started stand up around 2010. I started improv like around the time the bank was collapsing.
What a yes and.
Yeah.
They go, the stocks are falling and you go, and we're going to be okay. Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't really like, it didn't occur to me that it was a thing I could do outside of work. So yeah. I was still sort of like, I got to keep my job. I can't live in New York
yeah.
just on a dream.
It's like finding out you can build sandcastles for a living.
Yeah.
You go, who pays for a sandcastle? And you go, it's actually pretty fucking good money in it. Yeah. You're going to shit when I tell you what. Guys, we make real good sandcastles.
Hey, by the way, VP. Yeah. You know what you can make doing stand-up?
And you go, then you start making a sandcastle. Then there's a guy below you that's right. got to bring you the sand. Now you got a sand guy. All right. Let's get back to the episode. So kinesiology, I'm sorry, I jump around. My brain's filled with holes. Kinesiology at William and Mary.
Kinesiology.
Still sounds made up. When I get a word wrong, I go, no, I'm not going to learn that.
Okay, Gabby.
Yeah, I go, group project
the kinesiology.
Can I get a solo shot? So you are in the science of the body
mm-hmm.
and are... At the end of college, you like...
So I was like, I do this thesis. I'm like working way too hard. I'm so burnt out from college. I'm like, yeah. I'm like someone who's had like a 10-year career at this point because I just studied all of the time.
This is where you needed more of that shuffleboard till 4 a.m.
And so I was like, I was so burnt out. I knew I needed to go to grad school of some sort, but I was just like, I can't do any more school. I'm going to I'm going to die.
Yeah.
This is awful. And so I started to look into maybe being an au pair. Or I was like, I got to do something else with my life. I need to take a break. So I was like,
you just didn't want to study at all.
I was like, I got to get out of school for a while. So I was looking into being an au pair. And then a couple of the girls I lived with, also on the track team, who they were like, well, they were business majors. And got they were it. Like, we're going to get jobs in New York and get jobs in finance. And I'll move to New York. And, that's just what we're going to do. You should come and do it, too. And I was like, I've never taken a business class.
You didn't take one business class?
I didn't take a single business class. I mean, I was a kinesiology major and an art history minor.
Damn.
So I was like,
you were built to live in Vermont.
I mean,
you were built to live in some cabin in a fucking far off liberal state.
I mean, just like working on like bicyclist knees.
Yeah.
And
and I also I rehabilitate beavers.
Right.
Who might have had a dam accident.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, but it's really important to the ecosystem. Yeah. I know they seem like a hassle, but I mean.
Beavers' ACLs split a lot. They don't
realize.
And
by beavers, I mean the animal and the lesbian.
Yeah, and a hardcore lesbo. So you basically
I run a practice called Beavers Only. Yeah. It's for the animals and the lesbians.
It's a short-haired woman holding a beaver.
And I'm like, what are both of your problems?
Okay, bring it in here.
We can talk and work out.
And both of you get WNBA tickets. We give WNBA tickets to everyone that comes in here.
You don't know. You don't even want them?
You go.
You don't even want them?
You know what the truth is? They need us more than we need them.
So, lesbians just get so tired of being like, I don't like basketball.
I don't want, maybe I like men's basketball.
What's wrong with me also liking, they dunk.
I like a dunk. I like a putback. I like a putback with some oomph on it, okay? So you just basically followed your friends.
Yeah, they were like, you can get a job. And what the thing was, is like, I knew how much money they were going to make. And I was like, yeah. I want to make money.
What was the starting?
The starting salary for a lot of people, they were going into investment banking, and a lot of those starting salaries were like 60, 65.
Whoa. And I couldn't have met at what, 20,
bonus.
At 21, 22 years old?
Yeah. And you're like, that's more money than anyone in my family's ever made.
That's
like,
insane.
That's like, and so I was like, oh, I was damn. Like, yeah, let's make some money. You know, like, let's like.
I like you turn that switch.
Yeah.
You put down a dead cock and you go, I'm ready to make some bank.
Yeah, it's like, done with this.
here's your dick, old man.
You keep half, I'll keep the other.
Keep your little sponge. Keep your little blood sponge. Still so wild. That was the first dick you ever saw. And you peeled a banana. So when you move here, do you move in with them? Do you guys all get like a
place?
This is the
craziest thing about getting hired at a bank with having no experience. Because I was like, I've never taken a business class. How are they going to hire me? And they go, this is everything you need to know about banking. They go, Michelle, don't worry. You're an athlete. You have good grades and you're an athlete. Banks want athletes because they'll do anything to win.
Brilliant.
And I was like, you're smart. And brilliant. This is great. And I was like, you're right.
That's like,
I will.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
That's like when you find out a comic has trauma and you go, beautiful.
Right. Yeah. You're like, of course.
You'll never be happy.
Yeah. You're going to need approval for the rest of your life.
Oh, your father abandoned you?
Oh, great.
Oh, my God. Trust me, we are never going to fill that hole.
But you're going to try. Maybe theater will make me feel better.
Oh, more exposure to people.
What? You're just going to look at the bad comments and keep going?
Don't take in the good. Only bring in the bad. Dude, that's wild. But that makes sense that banks would be like,
yeah,
because you have discipline,
mm-hmm.
you're driven,
mm-hmm.
and you want to win.
You want to crush little people.
God damn, do banks crush little people?
Yeah, yeah.
Look up mom and pop stores anywhere in the United States. Have you noticed since you came back to New York that
there's not like a single place where you can just get something that someone has made?
All shut down. And I'm going to say, I did go to the 7-Eleven right by us today and it was great.
Yeah.
Cold, glacier frost,
I'll tell you,
Gatorade.
coming from Spain.
Oh, yeah.
And like one of the first things I do when I get back to America, I was like, I want to go to a big grocery store. I want to go to a, I want to go to like a Wawa or a 7-Eleven. I want some sort of convenience.
Convenience.
You know, like
America
just,
does convenience better than any nation, probably better than Rome.
Oh, I mean, they, America is like, if you want something and you don't care about the quality of it, come to America. Oh,
I love it.
We will just give you a huge bag of it.
I love it. Oh,
it's not good for you.
It's candy corn. Yeah, everything's candy corn.
Everything's candy corn. You want circus peanuts?
Done.
We don't even know what it's made out of.
I'm on a jelly bean kick. I just went and got jelly beans right down the block. I don't even know.
Great.
Don't even know what flavor they are.
You can't find those unless it's, you go to like an American store around Easter in Spain.
Now you live in Spain.
Yeah.
My problem with Europe is air conditioning blows over there.
We have great air conditioning.
Good job. Yeah.
You got it. I mean, there's just, you just got to find a place with air conditioning. God. You can't do it.
I know.
It's insane.
Oh my God. When I did Fringe and they were just like, no, it's fine. You don't need air conditioning. And you're like, or they're like, oh, no, we've got it. And it's just this thing going.
Yeah. It's just a man going.
Are you chilly now?
A spot of tea. They're just like, you know, it'll cool you down, a hot cup of tea.
Dude, I did. I went over and did shows at the Soho Theater like in 2021, I think, or 2022. And they don't have like a lot of Starbucks, but they have Pret-a-manger.
Yeah.
A lot of pret-a-mangers.
Yeah.
And they don't have iced coffee. But
Pret-a-manger has my favorite sandwich in England. Because they don't have it in any of the Pret's in America. Yeah. They have a mature cheddar. No, it's a posh cheddar and pickle sandwich.
That sounds made up and the most British shit I've ever heard in my life.
It's not pickles. It's like an onion chutney thing.
Oh, my.
So it's just cheddar and like this like onion marmalade. It's so good.
No,
I guess you're not posh.
No, I'm not posh at all. Never been, never claimed to be. But I went to across the street from my hotel was a Pret-a-manger, and I went and got an iced latte. But I was there in June, and it was the hottest day in the history of London.
Oh my God, British people don't know how to be hot.
No,
they know how to be rainy
all day.
They're like, I wear clothes that can get wet all the time.
They're like ducks. They just
it
just goes right off them. But
like even the queen, the queen is just like
Queen Mum. She's like, I went to a Pret-a-manger and I was like, I'd get an iced latte,
right?
Because that's the closest I could get to iced coffee. And I was like, hey, can I get an iced latte? And they were like, we're out of ice. And I was like, oh, cool. You're making more.
Yeah.
And they go, no. And I was like, what's up? It was the most American I ever was. I was like, what the fuck do you mean you're not making more ice? And they're like, I don't make more ice. You just got to wait till tomorrow.
Like,
and you're like,
the UK in particular is known for like not giving a lot of ice. Like, especially when Americans go and they're like yeah, I'd like a Coke and like a glass of ice. And they're like, and they give you like a Coke and then like a glass that has like a half melted piece of ice in it. And you're like, I said a glass of ice. And they're like,
that's what it is.
We gave you a glass of ice.
Oh, look, I can't do it. A glass of ice. And you go, that's an ice cube. And I go, right.
Right.
Glass of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't need ice. We're so cold as a people.
Our souls are cold.
When our hand touches the glass, it frosts up.
Like a Christmas movie. Yeah. Oh, will you look at that? It's like the cold blowing off. And then you realize like, oh, that's how you're able to colonize the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
Is they'd go like, no, we'll give you a little bit of it. There you go. Can we have all your resources?
You're like, well, if you need more ice, we're going to need all of your things.
Now, listen, this might not be a popular opinion, but as I know, like, as we grow as a species, we see what was wrong about history, but you do have to give credit. Some credit to the colonizers that they went to every part of the world and were able to pull that off.
I mean, the fact that
their record was like 25-2.
I mean, look at British people. Look at British people.
They're pale.
They're pale. They don't look like they can fight.
No.
At all.
No, they don't. Versus someone like Samoans, like
where you're just like, you're like, you're 10 feet taller than me.
You know, a cool dance.
Yeah.
And you're like, doing a haka
you're
before.
Doing, you're doing like self tattoos.
That's insane.
And then like British people are like, I'll be ready to fight if I just could put on my 6 jackets.
Hey, hold on, this lace handkerchief around my
neck. I need my fighting wig.
Yeah, but then they just go,
launch a cannon.
Yeah, they're just like...
Because they were nerds. Yeah. They were just like finding out. They took gunpowder from the Chinese, and then they were like,
oh, if I hold this giant piece of lead through that
Didn't they like never colonize China, though? Isn't that
China, I mean, go read about the Opium Wars.
You can go learn stuff from China, and I think that's what the Brits did. They were like, they learned stuff from China, but then they were like, and China was like, we'll teach you, but if you try to use it against us.
I'll give you a pair of silk peaches and some firecrackers, but I swear to fucking God.
I swear to God. Back on us, and they're like, don't worry.
You guys seem fine.
And then every other nation that
and
was
they just like take everything around China.
That's what it is they were almost like all the colonizers were willing to use the, like, I think anyone that got colonized was probably nice. Where they're like, oh, hello.
It was nice people who were like, we'll share.
Like Thanksgiving is an example of being like, dude, don't do that.
No, yeah. It's just,
don't
it's,
share their meal.
It's an example of someone being like, well, this is what we do. We welcome people into our homes. And then the Brits
and
are
they
like,
go, here's alcohol. Yeah. And the Native Americans went, I don't feel good.
Yeah, and they were like, here's more. Great. Here's a cannon and here's a gun.
Because at first they loved coffee. If you read about Native Americans. Mm-hmm. They were like, they just wanted to trade for coffee, which I get it.
Yeah.
As an alcoholic that had to stop drinking, you're just like, give me a cup of Joe, baby.
I mean, it's delicious.
And then they gave him fire water. And it really is that thing of, to be successful, just like bankers, colonizers needed them to go like,
give me a little bit more.
What makes colonizers successful is that they go to people who are nice.
Yeah.
And they are very evil. Yeah, and they're like, yeah, of course we tricked them.
It's
they have no, like now they have a problem admitting it.
Yeah.
But back then they were like, yeah, we go to the nice people. We take all their things. And
then we put our flag up there.
What? It's their fault. They were nice.
That's how I always felt about the Crusades when they were like, oh, we're crusading for Christ. And you go, using rape and murder?
Yeah, it's like, no, you're...
Kind of against what you were going against. Yeah. I don't know if you read the source material.
No, they said we can do anything they want. No.
Shut up. So we raped and murdered.
It says as long as they become Christian, we can...
Whatever, dude.
Any means necessary.
It's like, I know I'm not supposed to, but I know it can really fuck up someone's life, but when someone squats, I'm kind of like, hey... Just call it colonizing.
I colonized
your house.
And it's really funny because like a lot of the people who squat now are just like, it's like their parents are rich and they're like artists and they're like, but I need this loft for me.
Sorry, I'm painting. Dude, that's got to be the funniest thing to be like. I always think that's really funny when someone's like a banker or like does something that ruins people's lives, right? And then they have a kid that's like, I'm an actress. Like, whenever you find out, like, someone in the arts comes from someone evil, you're like, that is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, it makes me happy and mad at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm mad because I'm like, oh, you had, like, everything to fall back on?
Yeah. Yeah. That does suck. As someone that gets into the sillies, not having money, you're
like no net, you're like, okay. But then at the other time, I'm like, until they became successful, their parents had to be like, we spent all this money.
Like, did you ever meet any bankers whose parents were like painters?
Well, okay. So the other thing about Bear Stearns, and this is like the like kind of tragic reason for the like when it crashed, is that like Bear Stearns' whole philosophy was like, we're just a bunch of like blue collar people who like worked hard. They were all from like middle of America. And like, they really like, they had this like culture within the bank that was like, we're blue collar people who wanted to be in finance for other people like us.
Really?
Yeah. So
they had real Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life energy.
And like real, like, and.
But well, that's all crashing.
You know, like,
well, it's all crashing, Mr. Potter.
Yeah. And then like, you know, as it like got more and more New York, it got more and more like.
That wears off.
Yeah. But like, it,
It's like people who get into stripping for the dancing.
Right. Yeah. I like to express myself.
I like body movement.
I'm a very sexual person. And then
20 years in, she's like, if you don't pop by the end of the song, it's over. Yeah. And the guy's like,
I'm going to cut you open.
Yeah. I'm going to dissect your sponge, your love sponge.
And sorry, I'm just making sure this isn't.
Yeah. Make sure your child is okay.
Yeah.
She uses a phone. She's advanced.
Yeah, she calls.
Baby's FaceTiming you like the Bear Stearns CEO. Mom, there's been a drop of poop in my pants. I need you to pay
off. It's so crazy when your baby makes eye contact with you while they're pooping.
Power
like,
move.
You'll just be like, I'll see her like squatting on the ground. I'll be like, and she'll go.
Is there ever any grunting?
No grunting. She just like looks. She's like.
You know what I'm doing.
And I'm like, all right.
I'll clean it up. It's so funny because that's what my dog does on the street. Well, she'll poop and she'll be like, get the bag ready.
You do it.
Dude, Myrtle does this thing. And I know it's like babies are humans. My dog has to be, I've talked about this before. She has to be this close to a car when pooping. So she'll like put her face against it. And a lot of times.
You think she feels safe?
I don't know. Probably. But there's. Katie will tell you, there's always someone in the car. She chooses cars with people in them. So it's just me lurking outside their window. They don't know there's a dog there. And I'm just standing there with a green bag on my hand.
Just like maybe the car feels like warm and she feels safe.
But she just gets fucking right there and is like, shits on the sidewalk. And you're like, God damn it, Myrtle.
That's really funny.
But you were saying with Bear Stearns, so they were like middle class and then they got New York.
Yeah, and so like they, like, so a lot of the older guys who work there, like as like the weeks after the fallout, like, because it wasn't like an immediate thing. It was just like every Thursday people got fired for like a couple months.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like a slow burn.
Did you get fired?
No, I got picked up by J.P. Morgan. And because they bought Bear Stearns and then like I knew I was pretty much safe because one, I was like one of the cheapest people.
Sure.
That worked there.
Yeah.
And two, for the group I worked in, I had made this like Microsoft Access program that like did one of the things that our brokers needed to like make trades.
Wait, you innovated something?
Well, someone else had made it and then that person had left and the people there, when I got there, no one knew how to update it.
Sure.
And so like I just went in and I figured it out and I like updated it.
Yeah.
And but I was the only one who knew how it worked. So I was like, they're not gonna fire me because I'm cheap and I know this program and no one else does.
Yeah. And I'm a genius.
I just changed the game. Just trying to please people all the time.
That's what I
just,
knew.
Like, I mean, just
that
like,
is the heart of innovation. The heart of innovation isn't making things easier.
Just for one person to be like,
good job.
Wow, look at you.
Great job. You did a really good job.
You did that. Huh.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts.
And so, but then I used to watch all these like older people. And one of the things about like the culture of Bear Stearns was they'd be like, they'd want you to reinvest in Bear Stearns stock. And that's like the one thing they tell you never to do with stocks. It's like, don't have stocks at the place you work.
Never get high on your own supply.
Right. And so Biggie all these people were like highly invested in Bear Stearns and they worked at Bear Stearns. But then the older, especially the older people, they were getting fired and they like their stocks had dropped to like nothing.
Oh,
so it was
fuck.
Like, and like, just imagine you're like this, like you come from like this blue collar family, you work in finance your whole life. You're like right close to retirement age. And now these fucking white collar pieces of shit.
They go, sorry,
like,
brother.
Essentially stolen all your money and they're just like,
hey, go Cubs.
I mean,
we'll see you later. I got to go back to Chicago with nothing.
It's just.
Doesn't that suck?
Such a fucking racket.
And hey, buddy, what a life lesson. And he's like, I'm 80.
Yeah, they're like, I can't start over. and they're like, I mean, but isn't it nice?
That's what my mom worked in insurance for years and was working with medical malpractice, and she got unjustly fired from her company, and she was trying to go somewhere else, and they're like, lady, why would we pay you $90,000 when this 24-year-old will do it for like $30,000?
Yeah.
And they're like, hi, I'm your replacement. My mom was like,
this is the most money I've ever seen.
Wow, I can afford a cable. My mom was like, duh. So it's crazy. Like, yeah. I feel really bad for those people.
No, and it's like, it's one of those things that I think was really pointed out well in the pandemic. I think people really realized it is like, oh, well, if a company doesn't care about me,
why would I give a fuck?
Why would I give a fuck?
Yeah.
And then that's what we're seeing. Like, all these people are like, why does no one care about their job anymore? It's because no company cares about its people.
Because we wised up.
Right.
Everyone like, wised up to the fact that you were just using us.
Yeah. You can't during a pandemic call cashiers essential personnel.
Yeah.
And then, which they were.
Yeah.
But then to like go back after the pandemic and be like, oh, you fucking guys?
I wonder if we are.
We're going back to automated.
Yeah. Sorry. Computers are here.
Bye.
I wonder if like, if we're near a fall of Rome type situation,
yeah.
if we'll have like a Walmart uprising or like an Amazon uprising where they're like, they attacked Bezos and his new slut wife where she's like, she's like, let them order skincare. And they're like, we can't even fucking take a piss break in the warehouse.
And then like they're like fighting and Jeff Bezos just like, honey, what sunglasses should I wear today?
I don't know. I need more. Dude, him getting all jacked on steroids is one of my favorite things in the world.
He worked at the company I worked for after JP Morgan.
Really?
So after JP Morgan, I went to work for this company called D. Shaw Research.
Yeah.
And so D. Shaw Research was like, David Shaw made this. He used to have this hedge fund called DE Shaw, and it was like this quantitative hedge fund that used an algorithm
yeah.
to like just.
I said those lines. yeah. I've yeah, said yeah. lines along those. Just I don't like, know what it does, but I've said those
yeah,
lines.
Yeah, you know all the words.
I'm a parrot.
You're like someone who like worked on the show ER, yeah. and you're like.
I'm a human parrot.
yeah.
I go stat.
Yeah.
50
you're like,
CCs.
How many CCs? yeah.
50 CCs of stat. That's not what that means. You go,
so he was one of the first people to have a quantitative hedge fund and became like a billionaire from the hedge fund because it's just robots picking different stocks and.
Sure.
Not caring about humans and stuff. And yeah. they're just like investing in like Saudi Arabia and like, yeah. you know, like oil and like people murder and, you know, like yeah, it's just like
pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like, you know,
ivory
makes like a lot of money.
Tusks.
yeah. just like whatever. Is just
and he
like,
was there.
And so there's this story about how Jeff Bezos went into David Shaw. He was like, he worked at D. Shaw. And there's a story about how Jeff Bezos went into David's office and was like, no, no, no. They took a, because the, this was on like 46th and like 6th.
Okay.
Which Bryant Park's right there. And yeah. they went for a walk around Bryant Park, David and Jeff Bezos. And he was like, David, I really, I want to start this online bookstore. Because you have to remember, that's how Amazon starts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's like, I want to start this online bookstore.
Which, by the way, I know I'm talking shit. I use it almost daily.
I mean, everyone
it's the best
does.
Thing in you, the world.
I have to actively...
Lex Luthor created the greatest thing in the world.
It's so... Because for Amazon to not work anymore, people have to want to be inconvenienced.
It is wild.
We're in this loop of
I wish I could tag all the things in this room that were from Amazon. So you know when I'm like, oh, slut wife, and it's just, I'm just making fun of the fact that he had clear second wife energy with this woman.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, dude, she's so hot, and his first wife was like, I believed in you, and he's like, yeah.
But you also wonder, it's like the first wife got remarried and then like divorced right away, and you're like, maybe she was the problem.
Yeah, that is funny. Now she's got some hot hunk who's just like, yeah. baby, can I have half of Jeff Bezos' money?
He's like, so I've been really wanting to start a podcast.
Yeah, it's like, here, lover.
So they went for like a walk around Bryant Park and he was like, David, I want to start this online bookstore and I'd want to know if you'd want to be invested in it. But also, if you don't, just my blessing to leave the company. And he was like, I don't want to be invested in it, but you have my blessing.
And now he punches his nuts
yeah.
every time he orders off Amazon.
No, I mean,
they
David,
go, ship to your address. He goes, yes, ship to my address.
Listen, David Shaw's still a billionaire.
Okay,
like
yeah.
Yeah,
but how much of a billionaire?
That's true.
He ain't got that Bezos billions.
He created D. Shaw Research, I believe, specifically because he wants a Nobel Prize.
Ah.
Because now he's doing like the D. Shaw Research does like actually like good like medical work, like they're trying to like find like cures for like Parkinson's and cancer and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but I don't think from the goodness of his own heart. I think
he's probably like, there's a ton of money in medical innovation
and glory.
And I want the glory.
And he's one of those guys that wears, no matter what the temperature is, he wears khaki cargo shorts and a black t-shirt.
I kind of like this guy. Yeah. I'm on board. These nuts. That's what he should have named his company. He goes, I have a new firm and it's called These Nuts.
I think you just clearly put the divider down, like people who can become billionaires and people who are like, you maybe could have, but you had to get into comedy.
You're one of my favorite people on the planet Earth. We've been waiting to do this podcast forever. I'm so glad you got to come and hang out.
I hope I did okay.
Yeah, dude, that was so fun. Just fire off in the comments. No.
No, people are going to be like, she's fucking women aren't funny. Yeah, this bitch and her.
But every time I read those comments, I'm always just kind of like, whatever, dude.
Every time I read those comments, I'm like, I don't enjoy me. That's fine.
You have so many choices.
I don't care.
Trust me. There's a lot of comedy.
Also, come by me. I'll cut your penis vertically.
Dude, get near her. She'll slice your dick. Check out her specials on Netflix. Check out Nice Lady on HBO. You got specials on HBO, on Netflix. One of the best comics working. You're on the road constantly. In America?
In America, in Europe, we haven't announced this yet, but it's going to happen soon. I'm going to do a tour of Ireland in October. So that's
they're going to take to you like a moth to a flame.
I mean, look at this, going home.
Yeah. They're like, you finally arrived. We've been waiting for you.